Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I were to ask you, what makes bread? How would you answer? Would you say, well, there needs to be some wheat and some water, a little salt, and maybe some yeast? It's not a bad answer. Of course, the truth is that people have been making bread pretty much out of anything they can for thousands of years. Archaeologists have found the oldest evidence of bread making in Europe, where they think they made bread out of the starch taken from the roots of cattails and fern stalks. So there you go. Who doesn't enjoy a nice warm slice of cattail bread or a golden fern puff? But in a larger sense, bread takes much more than ingredients. Bread takes a whole culture and a whole people to make it. You need farmers to grow those ingredients. You need some kind of market to distribute those ingredients to other people. You need the homes in which they are made and the families that make the breads. And of course, it is for these families that bread is most often made. To put it simply, bread is always more than bread. Bread is the sum total of the labor and the community from whence it comes. This actually helps us to understand Holy Communion. There are lots of ideas about the bread that we eat and the wine that we drink here in the church. We confess that it is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And people ask, how can it be? How can bread be more than bread? But part of the answer is that all bread is more than bread. Like a sponge soaking up water, or wine drawing its flavor from the soil from whence the grapes grow, bread soaks and gathers up the culture and the labor and the social arrangements of the people who make it. Every loaf of bread carries the color and substance of its people. In cultures where food has to be eaten rapidly or in which it must be stored for long periods of time, you'll often find bread that has no yeast that can corrupt it, whereas cultures that are more settled and that can make bread more leisurely will include yeast. One culture uses one grain, another uses another grain, and the bread of one woman making her bread is a showpiece, and so she braids it carefully, and for another woman, she just has to feed 12 hungry mouths, and so she makes it quickly. Bread is like cheese that gathers its flavor from the molds around it or from the soil in which the cows take their feed. Bread is that sponge that soaks up the conditions of its creation. And so you might even say that all bread carries the presence of the people who make it, which is maybe one reason why we really like our homemade breads best. But as you now consider all of that bread making and that diversity of bread, consider also the fact that our bread can be toxic for us. In every culture where bread has been introduced, it has created more dental problems. Before, they would be eating meat, protein, plants, and then comes bread and tooth decay, or so say the archaeologists. Or perhaps you've heard about that little town in France, Pont-Saint-Esprit, where in 1951 people started acting in crazy ways, even violent ways, because the rye harvest had been infected by a particular fungus, and that got into their bread, and it made their minds misbehave. We remember how our own culture started putting chalk and bleach into bread to make it whiter, or how bread can give you weights you don't want to have. And of course, the transformation of wheat from one kind to another and the rise of gluten allergies. If bread bears the presence of the culture that makes it, what does it mean that our bread can be toxic for us? Well, surely it means that our culture can be toxic for us as well, that we can be poisonous to ourselves. You see, that's how it goes in the church. We're not just here to learn about Jesus. We're here to learn from Jesus about everything else. And so he calls us to really pause and look at our daily bread. Our daily bread that is more than just bread. Our bread that is our homes and our markets and our farming and the whole world and land from which we come. Christ calls us to contemplate that bread and to see that it is a bread that perishes. Our homes and our families and our communities, our homes and families and communities that perish. There is not only a living bread on top of all the other bread you have, there is this living bread because all the rest of it is a dying bread. All the rest of it is toxic and poisoned by sin. We must taste and see in what way our bread is bad before we taste and see that the Lord is good. Since our daily bread is all that other business as well, the culture, the home, the families, the farming, the market, and all the rest, we must look at that whole loaf of life and perceive how it does not give us life, and how more often than not it delivers us to death and labors under a sentence of death. For when we see it squarely for what it really is, when we see the bread that perishes, then we are not only ready to be truly thankful for that bread, but then we are also ready for the living bread from heaven. First, thanksgiving. To look at our daily bread and to see in that daily bread how even our best human labor fails to give us eternal life. How our best community, our best farming and markets still are a perishing sort of bread. Is to learn how closely we really live towards the grave each day. And when we realize how closely we live with the grave each day, then we're ready to be thankful for life. Then we're ready to see how blessed we are with life. And then we may turn to our Father and say, Father, I really can't do this without you. The community around me cannot do this without you. Surely life is a gift of your own hand, and I thank you for it. You know that your friend Jesus is a man of thanksgiving. He gave thanks on earth, he gives thanks in heaven. That is because your man Jesus is a man who lived close to the grave and lives close to it still. All of his days on earth were marked by the awareness of the death that he must die. Even now he bears the marks of the cross in his flesh. He knows the grave, and therefore he knows the blessing of life for what it is. And he renders eternal thanks. We keep in step with him. And of course, to speak of him is now to speak of the living bread itself. Yes, there is a dying bread, but there is also this living bread, Jesus. Born of a virgin, he was never made by man. This bread comes from heaven. Crucified by his culture and risen from the grave, he does not bear the life of only one culture or one particular land. This bread comes from a land and a city that we have not yet seen, but that we have been promised. And he has soaked up the culture of that city as well. He has soaked up its eternal life, and he bestows it upon you in his own flesh and blood. His blood carries the resurrection. His very flesh is divine mercy. And to eat and drink him is to feast at the table where not even angels sit, but only the children of Adam and Eve whom God has forgiven. Our bread can make us toxic because our work and our communities are poisoned by sin. But this bread makes us pure and fresh because it is the work of God alone and comes from the community of his love. Brothers and sisters, let's eat. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.